I would like to call your attention to a passage of Scripture in John chapter 12. If you have a Bible with you or you want to use the Pew Bible, we're just going to read a few verses. In John chapter 12, verses 27 and 28. John 12, 27 and 28. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The Christian church calls the Friday before Resurrection Sunday Good Friday, the day Jesus Christ was crucified. He was executed by Roman soldiers under the authority of the Roman governor of Judea, Pontius Pilate, at the insistence of the Jewish council called the Sanhedrin. But the scriptures make it clear that this was decreed by God before the foundation of the world. These parties were responsible for the extreme greatness of their sin, while at the very same time God's sovereign purposes were being worked out. And God's sovereign purposes were certainly good purposes. Good Friday. For this day, the day of Christ's crucifixion, brings good news. The gospel, the news that God saves sinners like you and me. It is Good Friday because what Christ did on the cross is our hope of salvation. It is Good Friday because the great glory of God's love is on display at the cross. Believers can call it Good Friday because through Christ's atoning blood sacrifice on the cross, their sins have been forgiven. They've been reconciled to God and can have the assurance that they will glorify and enjoy Him forever. But the scripture tells us in Psalm 16:11 that in His presence, God's presence, there is fullness of joy, and at God's right hand are pleasures forevermore. On that day, they crucified Jesus Christ. He hung on the cross for 6 hours, the last 3 hours from noon to 3 p.m. A supernatural darkness covered the land. Christ experienced the horrific execution of a Roman crucifixion. After 6 hours, he died. But what we read in our text in John 12, 27 and 28, took place before Good Friday, probably on the Sunday before, what we call Palm Sunday. And this text is an especially moving and emotional scene. What we see in John 12, 27 and 28 is Christ's own contemplation of His going to the cross. In John 12 and verse number 23, Jesus says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Now, in John's gospel, whenever it talks about the hour, it's always, it hasn't come yet. It hasn't come yet. John 2 in verse number 4, Jesus says, "My hour is not yet come." In John 7:30, Jesus says, as the Jewish leaders were seeking to arrest him, John said rather, "His hour had not yet come," so they didn't arrest him. Same thing in chapter 8, verse number 20. John says, "No one arrested him at that time, because his hour had not yet come." But it's changed now. Here it is. in God's perfect time. The hour of his passion, his crucifixion, his resurrection, his ascension. The central focus of the hour being his death on the cross. The hour has come. And in verses 27 and 28, we get a little glimpse of what's going on in Christ's heart as he faces the cross. There's four parts to this contemplation. The first we want to notice is the anguish of the cross. Now is my soul troubled. Literally, it means to shake or stir up. But in the context here, it means Christ's soul was agitated, disturbed, upset. There was horror and revulsion as he contemplates the hour that's come. You see, it's time for Jesus to become sin for us. Though he knew no sin during his entire lifetime on earth. And of course, he knew no sin as the eternal Son of God. But it's time for Jesus to be made a curse for us. In the Old Testament, after Moses gave the law to the children of Israel, God spoke of blessings for those who kept it and curses for those who rebelled against it. Now, when he spoke of the blessings, they were all good, all good. But you could sum it up in Aaron's priestly blessing in Numbers 6, 24 to 26. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Or in other words, you're blessed when God's face is toward you. When God's face shines upon you, you're blessed. So being cursed, you see, is just the opposite. It's when God withdraws his gracious presence and instead brings upon one not blessings but judgment. We're cursed when we're God forsaken. My soul is troubled. Jesus was made a curse for us. Jesus took the outpouring of God's wrath as he who knew no sin became sin for us. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? It says in Galatians 3:13, he redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us in our place. What is Jesus thinking? What's in his heart as the hour has come? He says, my soul is troubled. He's wrestling with this thought, just like he would later in the Garden of Gethsemane. And just as in the garden, he ultimately submits to the Father's will. John here in his gospel does not hide Christ's humanity. We must not make the grave mistake of saying that the cross was easy for Christ because after all he was God. We must not pretend we understand more about the incarnation than we really do. It's clear that in going to the cross, there was great anguish, and that's what we need to understand. My soul is troubled. Now, the hour is come. Christ's suffering was real and great to the point that we can't fathom it. And it's not simply the scourging and beating, the nails and the spear, the physical torture of the cross, but the absorption of God's wrath for sin. Our finite minds can't truly grasp hold of that. And his soul is in anguish as he contemplates his coming suffering and death. Jesus doesn't go to the cross casually or emotionally detached from it. It's not simply God going through the motions of being a man as if he were playing the part. So here we see the anguish of the cross, but we also see the acceptance. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? It's kind of like there's two alternatives that come to his mind. The first really isn't a choice. Save me from this hour. He's expressing something he knows cannot in reality happen. He knows it's for this very hour he has come. He can't deviate from the eternal sovereign plan of the cross. John here is simply expressing the reflection of this prayer. Father, save me from this hour. He's saying, is this what I should pray? Is this how I should think? Maybe we can switch to a different plan, but of course Jesus rejects, Father, save me from this hour. Notice it says in verse 28 or verse 27, but for this purpose I have come to this hour, for this cause. He knows why he came. There's no plan B. The cross is God ordained. He came to die this wrath-bearing death. He came to die. He must die. He comes to redeem men. He comes to absorb God's wrath for sin. He comes to please his Father, to show the magnitude of God's love and grace and justice. He must go to the cross. We see the anguish. Now is my soul troubled. And the acceptance. This is the purpose. I have come to this hour. My hour has come. I must accept this. And the third thing we see here is the aim of the cross. The aim of the cross. If he can't say, save me from this hour, what should he say? My hour's come. My soul is troubled. Notice what he says in verse 28. Father, glorify your name. See, that's the ultimate. That's the ultimate, that God be glorified in the cross. As Paul said in Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus' heart is that his Father be glorified. And he's not talking about some kind of vague idea. Oh, that God be glorified in some kind of vague way. He's speaking of God being glorified as he dies on the cross. As he sheds his blood for the redemption of sinners. He'll go to the cross, and in the cross, God will be exalted and sinners will be saved. In fact, God will be exalted because sinners are saved. Look at the cross and you see God's attributes. Love, mercy, grace, justice, wrath, holiness, wisdom. They all shine forth at the cross. For all eternity, believers will be bowing before Jesus in worship, saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain, by whose blood we were ransomed. To the Lamb be praise and honor and glory forever, and all of the worship for all eternity will bring glory to God the Father. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we must recognize all our boasting, all our glorying, it's because of the cross. We're utterly dependent on it for our salvation. In fact, every good thing was obtained for us through the cross. In 1 Corinthians 1, talking about the cross, Paul concludes the chapter with these words, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and our sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. God is the source of all the blessings of salvation, and they come to us by grace through the cross. There's no boasting on our part other than boasting in God. And so Jesus says, Father, glorify thy name. Glorify. We must glory in the cross. Make our boast only in God through Jesus Christ. We must make much of God by making much of his grace. Amazing grace. Now, there's the anguish. Jesus is contemplating his hours come. There's the acceptance. There's the aim, the purpose. And the final point is actually not Christ's contemplation, but a response to that contemplation by God the Father. The last part of verse number 28. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Now, I don't know if your prayers get answered like that, but mine don't. I don't pray and hear God's voice saying, here's the answer. But the Father speaks. This is the third time in Christ's ministry that the Father has spoken audibly at his baptism, at his transfiguration, and now here. And the answer is that he's glorified his name and will glorify it again, meaning through the cross. Through the cross, God is seen as great, merciful, loving, holy. Through the cross, his name will be magnified. God has a passion for his glory. Please understand, God's passion for his glory is for our own good. God desires that his children would know him in his glory, because our joy must be full in him. And so the voice from heaven is to affirm the cross. The cross is not a demonstration of the Father's disapproval of his Son. Exactly the opposite. The Father is glorified in the glorious fulfillment of Christ's very mission. We can't fathom the love that the Father and the Son share one with another. It is that very glory and that very love that Christ's cross brings us into a relationship with. So the hour has come, and Jesus contemplates the cross. And there's anguish as he contemplates the cross. And there's the acceptance of the cross, and there's the purpose of the cross, and then there's the affirmation as Jesus prays, Father, glorify your name. And the Father says, yes, that's how it will happen. How deep the Father's love for us. As we contemplate the cross, may the cross of Christ humble us to the place of the deepest worship and humble us and fill our hearts with the fullest joy. God, God, God saves us by the death of his Son. Earlier we sang, "Oh, to see my name written in the wounds, for through your suffering I am free." I don't have a really good voice. I'm hoping someday in the eternal kingdom to be able to belt this out. Death is crushed to death. Life is mine to live. One through your selfless love. One through your selfless love. We sang that earlier, and we're about to sing, "I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward?" I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. If you're a Christian tonight, my prayer is that you, I, might see the glory of the cross more and more and more and more. And let me just close by saying, if you're not a believer, not a Christian, let me tell you right now, this God is calling you to look unto him and be saved. He's calling you to turn your heart away from your sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your sin merits God's eternal wrath. But Jesus Christ will forgive all who come to him through his cross. And he will reconcile you to the living and true God, that instead of eternal condemnation, you'll have joy forever in his presence. If you're not a believer, understand this salvation is not deserved or earned by you. It comes by grace through faith in Christ who earned it. He does not pray in our text, "Father, save me from this hour," because he's about to die to save sinners. Let's pray. Father, why should we gain from Christ's reward? Help us see that the answer's in the magnitude of your greatness, in the incomprehensibility of this love. Where Christ dies in our place and Christ becomes a curse for us. We thank you so much for the cross, where death is crushed to death, by Jesus' death. Lord, we thank you and praise you and ask you to grow us in grace and ask you to help us be light in a dark world. And Lord, to you be all praise, honor, glory forever and ever, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.